Well, look, I'm not a very experienced taper, so this, I can't seem to tape and paint at the same time, and I'd rather paint. So if it doesn't work out, you know.
So you know, in potlatch like that, you got to have your own plate and stuff. You can't eat out of nothing. You got to carry it with you all the time.
That's
the meaning of the potlatch. You can't eat another plate. You can't let that guy wash. You got to wash your own dishes and all that. That's awful bad. That making potlatch, a lot of superstitious in there.
Mm-hmm.
What I call it, believe. But yeah, I mean, they are.
Yeah, but
they are. Mm-hmm. When you're giving away a gun knife, it's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you give a knife, hunt knife away,
mm-hmm.
that guy has got to give you, he's got to give you a penny, or he's got to give you some, and that's your luck. And when you're making potlatch.
Well, do all the people know this?
Yeah, they all know that.
Okay, yeah.
Because
I think it would be awful if you were
with me. So when you're making potlatch, when you're dancing, you dance till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And they do that day after day.
Mm-hmm.
Depends how long you're going to have potlatch. The longest they ever had was 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your dance hall, you've got to be the last one to leave the hall. The guy that's making potlatch. If I'm making potlatch, I've got to be the last one to be walking out of that door.
Why?
Well, that's the way, the superstitious way. That's your luck. And that's where you, you see, that's where you put away your mother. You see, I made potlatch after my mother. So that's where you put away your mother. Otherwise, she don't do it. She's not put away right.
Oh, and that's very important. Yeah.
And when you're giving away stuff, like guns and stuff like that, and beaded work, you gotta give it to the people that help your mother for the potlatch. You know, like when she passed away, when she
mm-hmm.
died, the one that digged the grave, and the one that made the speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that used to come visit her and talk to her, that's the people you got to give the biggest stuff to. And the people that don't come from long way out someplace. Because I had people come from all over, my
mm-hmm.
family, right? That's the first time all my nephews, my cousins, there was 28 of us in there. 28 of my relations were there. Some from Juneau. Some from Seattle, and one from California.
Mm-hmm.
They all came from our potlatch. That's the first time all my family was together. The time when they get down there, I'll show you them pictures. I got the picture of them.
I'd like to see that. Very much. I'm about ready to quit.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm for today. It's just a good time to quit. I can feel that I'm getting tired.
Yeah, well, you see, that's what I do too. I don't want to do things like that, you know, like when I'm talking. Because when I'm telling stories or something like that, I just, seems like I forget or something, and I can't think no more.
Yeah.
It's like your handwork. Like you see that picture frame I make down there, I just go so far.
Mm-hmm.
If I just keep it going, some bound, go crooked on me.
Well, I can just feel I'm getting tired. It's time to stop. And we'll work again, not tomorrow, but Thursday?
Yeah. Oh, Thursday I got a class.
What time?
3 o'clock.
Oh, well, that's okay, because I get you in the morning.
Oh, yeah, in the morning,
okay.
Yeah.
Morning's
yeah.
better for me anyway. In fact, maybe even tomorrow after at about 12:30 to maybe just for an hour.
Yeah. You can call me and I'll let you know what I got coming. Cause
I want
them to let me know what they want to do first, you know.
That's right. And maybe, wait a minute, maybe tomorrow isn't such a good day because I got to go grocery shopping.
Uh-huh.
we can take it in. But Thursday would be good.
Thursday morning would be all right.
That would be
I
good
I got a class
too.
Thursday afternoon.
Okay. And we'll come back and work on this. This went very well. I'm very pleased. There's a lot more to do, but it's going well.
Yeah, I'd be talking to the president and the Pope.
You will, oh, golly. That's quite a heavy, for you to talk to both of them. It's quite
good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I want to say.
Well, you certainly got some time to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I want them to do is ask me. And that's the best way, because, you know, sometimes they there'll be a lot of people there, and they're going to tell me, oh, hell, he just... For the prunes, they're gonna say, and I don't want that to happen. You know, I don't want nobody. The worst thing I don't like is that I don't want people to talk behind my back. If they don't like what I'm saying, I want them to tell me that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll put it another way. Then
mm-hmm.
That's what I like. What I like. And the worst thing is I don't like is them to say, oh, I'm sorry, I said that. I'm sorry. And that's sorry, that I just don't like that word, because, you know, to me, it seems like you're just laughing at you.
That's a very good point. I see what you're saying. Yeah. That's interesting. Funny, because I often find, yeah, that's very interesting.
Now, I get mad when people tell me that. And I told people that, when I say something wrong, I mean, if you tell me something, you tell me something, and then you think that I said it right, and then you say, I'm sorry. I say, I don't like that. Because, you know, one time we're having a talk, actually, I talked to these people, you know, and they're talking about survival camp, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people says, oh, no, we can teach our kids at home. We don't, we're just wasting money. So I told them, I says, what about these kids? These kids got no home, no parents, they got nothing. I said,
mm-hmm.
How are they going to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to tell them?
Mm-hmm.
I see, they got no place to go, who's going to tell? So this one woman said, oh gee, we never thought. I'm sorry I said that. So that made me mad there.
Well, I think a lot of people, when they don't know what else to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, they are sort of, they're so excited they haven't thought they had to say the right thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really mean it.
Yeah, I know they don't mean it. You know? You see, that's what I say. They got to think before they say something. You see, you got to think about all that things.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when I'm going to, like, if I'm going to make speech or something like that, I don't want to just go off and tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to think, is that going to be right or going to be wrong? Then I'll go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Say it all again,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I correct myself.
I mean, I don't normally stick ahead, Howard, so I
well,
wouldn't.
A lot of people don't stick ahead.
I
no, but nobody never, and nobody is never perfect too.
That's certainly true.
That's what I tell my kids that.
And you think
my kids, I mean my students, yeah. I tell them that there's nobody perfect. I say I'm not.
Don't be
perfect.
Afraid of making mistakes. The biggest mistake is not to move. You know, not to.
Yeah.
Try and get okay, let's stop this. And we'll go on down. Stop.
So, I'd be glad to do that. Because, you know, these stuff, the one I tell you, it'll never be told. Nobody don't want to tell things, and that's why I wanted to keep passing it on, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I said, same thing as what my mother told me. She says, never, and that's the way you help your people.
That's right. Yeah. But I don't understand why others don't realize
no,
that, too.
No, they don't. And that makes me mad. It makes me mad because, you know, things ain't going to be like this forever. And the young generation got to know. And they want to know now. I noticed that in the school down there.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, they spoke to me. And they said, Howard, we have a lot of people up there telling us things.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, you're the one that explains things good and want us to learn. And that's what we want. So, gee, that makes me feel good, you know.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just keep going. Now Dennis, he says, he says, he called me in the room that this before he left. He said, you know how hard? He says, it's good that you're doing this. He said, the students really love you. They call me up and they say they love you. He says, I says, yeah, I guess so. The way they talk, I said, they really think the word of me. I says,
I'm so pleased for you. I think that's great.
So I says, I'm trying my best. I said, I want to do that. I says, I want to continue. I says, and I want to do this. I said, I don't care about the pay, just as long as I get something. I says, but I said, I don't want no big pay, just like these other guys getting $20 an hour and stuff like that.
Is that what they get?
Yeah, because I told myself, I'm not worth it. I says,
well, what's the matter? That is.
I says, I just want my my people to know it so they don't forget. I said, that's helping people, and that's what I want. I said, I'm not after that money, just as long as I get enough to get along with.
Right.
That's all I want. I said, I'm satisfied. So he said, well, we look into it. He said, but they say they want you down Anchorage, he told me. I tell him, no thanks, I don't think I want to go down. He asked me why. I told him, well, it's a long story. I said, first, I go down there. I said, I've got no place to cut wood. If I want a piece of willow, or get a piece of bark, some guy would come up with 30-odd sixes. No trespassing. I says, I don't like that. I said, I got cousins, and I got nieces, and everything down there, but I asked them something, and they don't know. They wouldn't tell me. I says, people are funny down there.
They are. I agree. At least I would like to be.
So I just told him I didn't think I'd like it. I said, I'll do it for 1 week, but I said, I'm not going to do it for a whole month. They say, they want me down there for a whole month. And I told them, no, I didn't want it.
So you are going to go down there for a little while, are you?
For a little while, I may go down now. That's what I got to do. I got to buy a canvas.
Oh, hey, you know where I get mine? At Alaska Tent and Tarp.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to get. I'm going to get one like that, and I'm going to make a bag.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sour my stuff to tan moosekin with.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to do it the old time way. They use moose brains, you know. Moose brains.
I've heard of that.
Moose brains, and then they use eggs, you know, eggs. They take can and they squash it up, and then they mix it together like that, and just leave it set for about 2-3 months and really sour it up. Every once in a while you add a little more water to it and stir it up a little bit. And that's what you tan your moosekin with. You soak it. After you wet it up first, you know, then you have a tub and you just leave it soaking there. Soak for about a couple of days, then you take it out, then you rinse it, you have it on rack, and you got stick, you have a post right there, you tie it to the post, and then up here you got two big long sticks, and you just twist it like that, and render it out, just rinse it out, and all that juice is strained out, you got to save that. You have a container on the bottom, so you use it back over again, you know, that's when you tan them.
Huh.
That tans it. Then later on, you don't let it dry right away. You let it dry gradually, you know. Then you put it between, get a pole like that. Then you put a string right in here on the bottom like that. So when you're going like this, you see it don't slide. The string holds it. You see, you put it around the pole, and then that rope right there. That way, when you're going like this, it won't slide. See, it tightens up.
And this is what you're telling the kids, yeah.
And that's what I'm telling the kids, yeah.
Do you tell them how life was for you when you were growing up?
Yeah.
So that they have some...
Yeah, I tell them all that how. And I said, that's what I learned. that's the way I want you to learn, and I want you to pass this on. I said, don't forget, you mark my word. I said, take a recorder with you and record that stuff. And every once in a while you turn down your list. and pretty quick it'll get up here. I said, it'll get up here and you'll never forget. Because I says, I sure don't like our people to lose our culture. I says, I'm very serious about this. I says, I really love your people. That's the reason I'm doing it. I says, I don't want you people to to think that I'm smart or something like that. I want you to know, I says, if your parents never told you, I says, this is the time you want to take me up, I says, because I said, you can go back to your parents this summer. You go to your parents, you do them things, and they're going to ask you, how did you learn that? You just tell me you learned that from Howard Luke. You wouldn't teach me how to do that. So.
And you learned from your mom.
That's right, yeah.
More from your mother than from your stepfather, right?
The old people down Metro, on down Metro the other day, I tell them what I was doing, you know. They're kind of mad because I got this job. He said, how did you get that job?
I don't
know. I said, just talking to people. Just talk to people and talk to everybody. I said, tell them my life history and stuff. And I said, I don't ask them for a job. They come ask, they ask me, I said. And it's like that all over. I said, now this summer, I'm going to be working for F&A. I said, I don't ask them for a job. They know that I know. I said, your people can do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. It's too bad they don't want you.
Yeah, they don't want to. Did this, like I told you, it's too much welfare, too much government. They're just bothering our people. You know what they're doing that for. Because later on, they're going to start attacking us. They're going to attack us. And we got no money to pay our tax, and they can just take our place off.
I think there might be some truth in that. Yeah.
That's right.
I
know I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's the real plan, but I think it might happen because just the way things often work out.
Well, I know that. You see, years ago, 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't like that. There's no such a thing. It was like that. People had to go out and work.
I know.
They give you, as soon as you get out of the hospital, you get that for 6 months. Till you can get on your feet, and that's it. But now people, there's nothing wrong with them, and they're living that way. That's what I don't like.
Well, I think the thing is, is making them see that that's no good for them. You know, I mean, that it's no good for their self-respect to live that way, or...
I don't think they think that way.
No.
They don't think that way. I talked to a lot of them. They say, what the hell? The government is giving all this money. Why should we do that? It's our money. It's not their money. It's our money. We're the one that's paying the tax. Sure. That's the reason we're paying so much tax. Now watch, when I get my paycheck, you'll see how much they take out of that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me mad. Yeah. Everything like that. Oh, a lot of things I think of, and I can't. It's kind of hard to explain, you know.
Those things are.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I just don't exactly know how to put it, you know, so people can understand it.
Yeah.
I know you can understand me, and some kids.
It's very difficult to put these things across because a lot of it is life's experience that teaches you. And when you're young, unless your parents have taught you or you've seen it, it's hard to understand things about that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you get. That's why I'm very interested in how you're getting it across.
Yeah.
Because it's so important.
So important. Yeah. That's what I'm telling my students. You know, and I'm going to keep telling them. I told them that. I told him that the other day. I told him, young fellas, I said, I'm going to keep telling you this, keep telling this. But I said, I don't want you to get mad at me or nothing. He says, I talk too much. I said, one of these days you're going to say that, oh, geez, I should have listened to Howard. Now we know, and we don't know how to go right now. And that's where it's going to go. Therefore, I said, I want you to take a hold of right now. So a lot of them, I told them, I said, how many of you think that I'm right? And they all said, we all believe you, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
We know. We want to do that way. And that's the reason we ask for you. They're the one that called for me.
Oh, are they? It wasn't Dennis's idea.
Well, Dennis knew I was doing that kind of work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis knew that I was doing that kind of work, you know, and therefore he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that I knew what I was doing. You know,
because I think a lot of people know, like Bill told me, you know.
So, now he's down Juneau now. And well, Howard, he said, it's all yours. He said, day after tomorrow, you gotta take over. He said, you think you're gonna get nervous? You're gonna get in there? I said, get nervous? Why should I? I said, well, he said, talk to your students. Well, I said, I've been doing all the talking lately. I never heard none from you. He didn't laugh. He said, I guess you're right. He said,
is Dennis native too?
Yeah, he's southeastern.
Oh, he's southeastern. Yeah. Okay.
But he's pretty sharp.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He knows how to put things in. When I'm talking, he knows just exactly how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told him, you know, about that boneyard downriver.
Uh-huh.
And it happened, same things down southeastern.
Oh.
At one time, the story.
Yeah.
You know, there was a whole bunch of cows down there on the beach one time.
Uh-huh.
They were just sitting down, standing around, just laying around on the beach. You know? And all at once, they jumped up, and they look across, and they all run up the hill up there. All up the hill, and this fellow too went up the hill. And here was that tide. That tide just come and wash everything out. You see, them animals knew. They knew that. And he told me that he heard that story too. He told me that. He said, how did you know?
That's exciting. Yeah.
He asked me, how did you know? I said, I heard that.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing as down Tanana, on that boneyard down there. You see, all the animals, they just come to one place and they all died right there. They got a big cave in it, this cave right there. They just buried themselves. They knew their word was coming in to the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't know how they knew. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the God touched them and told me, you better go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, why not?
Yeah. I tell them that. I said, how did you know that? He said, we're not from Southeastern. I told them, no, I don't have to be. I heard them take that. Yeah, a guy told me that story a long time ago. I told him his story here too.
Well, I think the same stories get told again and again because they're important, and they get told all over in different, slightly different ways, because the message is what's got to get across.
That's right.
And so they tell them many, hoping that one of the times they'll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because some things, you know, I can't, like I say, I can't put it the way I want to put it, and some words that I can't pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to pronounce it my way, but I mean for people to understand.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Very hard to know how to get somebody else to understand.
But now, I told the students that, and they said, yeah, we understand. We understand what you're talking about.
Said, yeah, just keep telling them. Sooner or later, I think that they do understand. Mm-hmm. And maybe say the same story many times in a slightly different way.
Yeah. Because today I'm going to tell them the same thing over again. I'm going to tell them the same thing over again. I'm going to tell them two times in a row. Then the second one, I'm going to go back over, I'm going to tell them another one,
uh-huh.
And that's, I'm going to go back over, and tell, I'm going to tell them you know what I'm saying, these things over and over again.
Yeah,
over and over again.
And I'm going to tell them, I said, you know why, and I want one of them to come.
Mm-hmm.
And they says, we heard that before. I says, I'm going to tell them that I don't like the idea. You say you heard that before and you don't like to hear it no more.
Mm-hmm.
You want something else. I says, this thing is more important than time. You don't want to do these things. That's the reason I'm telling you. That's what I'm going to tell them. You know. And I think they know what I'm talking about. So, today I'm going to pick up a moose hide.
Don't forget to get those sticks that you need, too.
Oh, right here, yeah. I just need it about that long.
Okay. Have you got a knife and things with you, or we...
No, I don't even take knife. I don't carry a knife with me.
Yeah,
to me, it's against the law to carry a knife.
Your grief, is that right?
It's to me against the law to carry a knife with all.
Gosh, I didn't know that. We often carry a knife.
Only time I carry a knife is when I go to potlatch, because I got to chew on that meat.
Well, we've got a knife.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you getting stiff or anything?
No.
Okay. I'm just sort of trying to get your jacket in shape in today, because we haven't much time, so I thought I'd work on the jacket and the arms and stuff, so don't worry about your head too much. I'm working on your body, and we'll get that in. And
yeah, they want to record me today, so I'm glad to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got so much time, I mean, compared to what we thought we'd have, that it's a luxury. I mean, I'm not concerned. We'll get it all done. And we'll, if you can let me know tonight about tomorrow. And it's best for me. All I need, really, is about two and a half hours. I don't need longer, because I get tired.
Yeah, but I get tired, and you don't want to overdo it, because that's the way I do, you know, like I'm making that picture frame.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I feel like it, then I put another piece on there. Then I go with the other one, then I put another one on there, and that way I know it's gonna it's gonna come out. Because if I get tired and I see these glasses, I need new glasses pretty quick. And if I use it too long, I just get kind of dizzy a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So therefore I don't want to do too much. And so I never use glasses this much at home, because I'm outside all the time, you know.
Oh, I see. And the light, you mean the light is different?
Yeah, when I'm out, I never use glasses, because I can see quite a ways, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just like this.
Yeah, me too, yeah, me too.
That's it. So, these glasses, they make me a little bit sick, therefore I don't work on my things that much. So they got today. I guess they're gonna ask me about how the skin animal and stuff like that. They said there's three of them that they want to know. There's two different ways to, like if you skin beaver and you skin fox and marten like that. You know how you pull the tail out and all that. I usually use two sticks, put it between the tail. You know, then squeeze the stick like that. You grab the other end and it just pulls right out. And if you get a good fox or good marten, I never rip the tail.
Mm-hmm.
I use a willow, you know, a small willow.
Mm-hmm.
And I heat it up and I put it in the tail. I put it inside and I just roll it around like that until it dries. It dries up. That way it stay bushy, you know, just stay bushy. But when you rip them, they just spread out, you know.
Is that Sean? Oh, okay. See you later, love.
Well, I like hearing about when you were little and how.
Mm-hmm.
I like hearing about when you were younger and living here and how, and I like your thoughts about your feelings of passing all this on to your people. I mean, for me, that's because your realization of how important it is to pass on your culture, to your, well, your people. It's very important to me.
My experience with that, I just don't like to have my people to lose their culture, because in time they're going to have to do that. Like, yeah. I said the other day, you know, you're going to have to go back to all them things. And therefore, I want them to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
When I was brought up, when I was told something, if I don't pay attention, my mother used to, she don't take a club. She take one of them small willows, you
mm-hmm.
know, with the ends on there.
Yes.
And that's where I get my...
We just go on, just the same way we are. We get a good look at you now. I've had this break. That's going to come fine.
Yeah, I tell him a lot of things. I tell him about being a bad luck and stuff, all that, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a fella that down there, you know, he found one of them things, but he didn't take care of that. You know, frogness. It's just like cotton, the real white cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. And if you find one of them, you know, if you bring it home and you wrap it up in white cloth, anything, you keep it and you keep it clean. And that's luck. You're lucky all your life.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I told him that too. And if you find one, but very few people find that.
What is it?
Frogness.
A frogness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One time was out rapping, you know.
Yeah.
So it was hot, you know, and I lay down, and I just put canvas, and I lay down, and gee, I felt something down back here. It just going like this. Geez, I got scared. I didn't know what that. So I just laid still there for a while. And then my friend over there, my cousin, him and I was rapping. I told him, hey, Lawrence, there's something underneath me. I said, going this way like that, I don't. So he said, let's get up.
Mm-hmm.
So we got up, and I pulled the canvas off, and I looked, there was a little frog there.
Oh,
little frog there. You know, if I knew that,
mm-hmm.
I'd have dicked right there, and that's where he come out from his nest. I could have found his nest.
But you didn't notice
that. I didn't know it. I never mm-hmm. thought of that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you learn all these things?
Well, my mother and a lot of old people tell me that.
I need you to sit down more the way you were sitting. Is that okay? Is that comfortable?
So they tell me that, you know. But I never thought about that frogness.
Well, you've been pretty lucky without it,
yeah.
I look
like. Well, yeah, I've been lucky. I don't want to make millions. I wouldn't know what to do. I don't like it outside. I went outside twice, you know, I went out there, and gee, I just don't like the way they live. Everything press button and all that, and
I don't think being rich means necessarily having a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing kids get confused about too.
Yeah.
You can be really rich but not have very much money.
Another thing too is your luck is you see them on Camp Robbins, what they call
Blue
Jays.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you find their nest too, you do the same thing too. Nobody never find them things.
Is that right?
No, you can't find them things. And if you find them, you bring the nest and you bring it home and you keep that too. And you know this weather we had just not long ago, you know that snow and wind blown?
Yes.
And that's when they're having their aches.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're having their aches then.
Yeah.
So if you find one of them, you get the nest and you just keep it, you know, find that.
Well, how do you tell it's their nest? I mean,
I don't know, nobody ever did find them.
Oh.
You know it's their nest, like I told you, it's just like cotton, you know, it's like stuff. It's in the ball, it's where they go in. You know what I think, because I've tried that, I look, you know, on them on them spruce trees, you see them big,
uh-huh.
big black thing.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're going. Or they're going where, you know, where the woodpecker is.
Yeah.
The woodpecker make hole.
Yeah.
They might be going there too.
Because we've got a woodpecker nest just out here.
Maybe they're going there too. Yeah, I don't know. I try it. I look at them. And a lot of things feel lucky too, like like I say, you know, these woodworm, you know, woodworm.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Well, if you get one of the woodworm, if you're this young kid, uh-huh. You get that woodworm and you go like this and you just push it and then you wipe it on your body like that. Wipe it on your body like that. You'd be a good carving man, good with tools. Oh, there's a lot of stuff. I can go on, tell you all that stuff.
I like to hear. I want to hear more about your mother. I mean, I'm very interested from a woman's point of view and just from the cultural point of view, you know, an historical point of view of your mother being a medicine woman and a doctor, because I think that that's very, very interesting.
My grandma was a medicine man. My mother wasn't, you know.
Well, what was the difference? I mean, your mother knew the same thing. Well, how come you could tell your grandmother was and your mother wasn't?
Yeah, but you see, my mother knew how to do things. I mean, how to cure things, you know,
uh-huh.
And what to use for medicine.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know all that. I know what to use for medicine, all that, you know.
Well, you do.
Like this,
wow.
You see, if this get infected there.
Yeah.
I'll just go get that pitch. You see that yellow pitch? That really yellow one,
yeah.
The really fine sticky stuff.
I know you.
You just put that on you, and then you get a piece of anything, willow, you know, the cloth, you just chew it and you stick it right on and leave the pitch right on, and no infection, no nothing.
Because that's funny you should bring that up. I was looking at that when you were on the couch and I was thinking, gosh, she's got to watch that. If that pops and gets infected and he's down at his camp or something.
Yeah.
But you see, that's interesting, but you know what to do.
Yeah, I know what to do later on. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that pitch and put it on there and then get that leaves and stick it right on there. You know?
You don't think you should just leave it alone like we?
No, I'm not going to bother it.
No, don't bother.
Because I had one time, I had a little one down there. And boy, I poked it, I busted it, you know.
Yeah.
I busted it and it hurts.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, don't touch it unless it breaks by itself. But I was.
And it's just like. You know, years ago they didn't know what arthritis was. You know,
mm-hmm.
they didn't know what arthritis. What mm-hmm. arthritis was just like when you're aching all over and some bothering you and all that. You know, So, what they used to do is there's a certain kind of leaves that grows on the ground. You know, it's about that long
mm-hmm.
and that wide, and you get that. You know, and you. And whenever you need it, you put it on some flat, you know. Put something on a flat board or something like that, and you dry it and you leave it there. And whenever you get your bones aches or something like that, you know, your bone.
Yeah, I know. I'm just fascinated with that.
Yeah. And you just boil it. You put a tub,
uh-huh.
And the hottest you could stand, you put a piece of tie board on it. And you get on top of that plywood and you put blanket over you. And that sweat, it's just like taking a steam bath, you know. Same thing.
And what is that you're using again?
Oh, it's that leaf, the green leaf. Big leaf. They're about that long. And they're flat on the ground. You can see, they're around on the hillside, mostly on the hillside. It's
sure,
a green.
Yeah.
And you take that and you dry that. And whenever you... Your bones start aching, you do that, you boil it up and you
mm-hmm.
sit on that thing, and the hotter the better, and that stuff will just sweat and just take it right off.
Well, gee, I'm going to think of that, because my bones ache.
Oh, yeah, mine does too,
yeah.
Mine indeed, I get rheumatism, it's on kind of my leg, and I broke my kneecap. You know that doctor, he wanted to operate on me.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, you know, my mother was leaving that time. So I told him, I says, he said, in the morning, he said, I'm going to come over and talk to you. He said, I want you to sign this paper. So he came over next morning, you know, he told me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wanted to really operate on me. So he told me this, you know. He said, one time, you know, I operated on a guy, he said, and this fella, he said, he had one broken kneecap up here, and he had a double one. So he said, he just took the broken one in there, and he said he left the other one. You see, that's how bad he wanted to operate on me.
No way, how are they? Yeah.
So I told him, I said, doctor, I told him, I says, you know something? I told him. I said, if you operate on me, I said, I'm going to be stiff. And if I say I leave it there, I'm going to be stiff, I says. So you know what I'm going to do? I told him, what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you, I said, just leave it there. Just skip it. Just don't bother. Just put it in cast and just leave it. Just the way it is. So I stayed in there 6 months, you know. 6 months, and then they put another cast on me. Mm-hmm. Cut that one. So they took that cast off, and I went home. I was still stiff like that, just like that. So Mom told me, I had a bet, you know, she told me to tie a piece of stick over that kiss, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stick, and put my leg on there like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
my leg on there. She said, just do that all the time, she told me, every night. So I did that, you know. One time, I woke up, my leg was like this. So I told him, I said, Mom, I said, my leg dropped, I tell her. She jumped up and she got scared, she didn't know what I meant. And I told her that my leg let loose, you know,
mm-hmm.
and here it was, you know. If it wasn't for Mom, I'd have been stiff all my life, you know.
Boy, that's very interesting, all those things. Tell me more. Should we go to the volume and get there?
Yeah, it's good to know.
If
it wasn't for Mom, I'd have just left it there, you know. I'd never think about that stick.
No, well, how would, you know, most people wouldn't, because you just didn't know these things. I mean, I don't know any of these things.
It just give away, you know. Just like, I went snowblind one time. I was way out in the country, way out of nowhere, way up Good Pasture. And you can't get a town that's 400 miles away from town. So I went snowblind. And boy, I'll tell you, that snowblind is bad. It's just like sand, you know, just scratch. And every time you get out in bright, every time you get out in bright, it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother told me that one time, you know, and I thought of that. She told me, you just boil that tea, you know, boil the tea in that tea leaves, you put it in rag and you put it over your eye like that.
What's tea leaves? Just like the Labrador tea set?
Yeah, just some tea leaves. Just do you see
any of the tea leaves? Oh, okay.
See this stuff here?
Yeah.
Just that stuff. You just boil it and you put it in a piece of cloth and you just put it on your eye and leave it there. Every night you do that, she says. So I did that and see, it just went away. It's clear. And I never thought, you know, it could blind you too, that snowball.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't see none. For 1 week, I never went out. I just stayed inside. And every time I go out in daylight, it just burns, you know. So I thought of that, and I did that.
You remembered.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
that. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? You see, I'm just remembering.
And, gee, a lot of beaver out there, you know. So we didn't have no boats, not to stretch beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So I thought of that, my mom, see, my stepdad never taught me nothing, never tell
why?
Me.
Why didn't he? I mean, because that was an older generation. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Older generation, but you see, it was my stepfather, and him and I never did get along, you know. He don't want to tell me nothing. Well, anyway, he didn't know nothing, because himself, too, he didn't, his parents died off when he was really young, you know.
Well, I suspect that you're right, you know, like this man down in Anna you were talking about, he called you stupid. I suspect he didn't know anything. I mean, that's why he wanted to call you stupid, because he didn't know anything.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Yeah. He didn't know.
So well, I told him that he didn't know, you know.
Yeah. And I suspect that happens a lot.
So, you know, there were a lot of beaver. In that day, them days, you know, you could shoot beaver. You didn't have to tag them or nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I shot a bunch of beaver, and I didn't have no way to tag them. No boards, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of my mom telling me that, you know. So she told me to get a big willow like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that roots, and you just sew it right around the willow like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just make that thing just round. You poke it like that. And geez, my beaver just dry. I stretched 28 beaver like that, and they just round. I just punch a little puncher, you know, I put the old, and I use a string and I tie it on there. Some I use wire. It just made it round and it dried fast. It's nice and clean. When I all my beaver skin in order to keep it clean. I always pour salt on that. I pour salt on it, and that way it's just white.
Was that right? Even now, I mean, that's, yeah.
Even now, I do that to my skin. And this makes it white and stuff.
You tan all your own skins there?
No, I tried it, but mine didn't work. I know what I did. I did it.
Oh, it's hard. It's supposed to be awfully hard work. I don't have a clue.
Yeah. But if you got patience to do that, it's all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go all that kiss and go all that thing. I got no time for sitting down there and doing this. Yeah. That's a woman's job, I say. Mom used to do that, you know. In them days, you know, a lot of people now, they use soda. And they use ashes right now.
Yeah,
ashes is the best, you know. And this guy was telling me over Teltisic, he said he uses alcohol.
Mm.
He's rubbing alcohol or anything. He said he wet it up first. He wet it up so it gets soft.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pour that alcohol in there. And he just pour enough of it. He just rub it in there. Then he said he rolled it up. Rolled it tight. He put some weight on there. He said leave it for about 3-4 days. He said he dig it out. He said it's just tender. All you do is just scrape it with the teeth. I've been going to try it, but I never did.
Well, there must be many different ways of doing it.
There are a lot of ways to.
Well, you tell me more about when you were younger and you traveled around. If you had a stepfather, is your mother and your brothers and sisters were older?
No, just us, just me, my mother, and my dad. We just moved around because people just want to live and ride in Indiana, and they got fish camp. But us, we had a different way because you see, my brother was living up here, right where my place is now. He got married and he lived there. So therefore, we come up and visit him, you see.
Uh-huh.
So we just move around. We just move around back and forth like that all winter long. Where we came, we just stay there. You know? We live there and stuff. And then we anyway, hunt bear and we render all the fat out and we use that in spring. Bear is fat in wintertime when you put them out.
Yeah.
So therefore, we had a lot of grub. We make a lot of jerk meat and stuff like that.
I find bear very rich. I've only had it once and it was almost too rich for me. Caribou is what I like, yeah.
No, beaver is the one you wanted.
Beaver?
You ate beaver?
No.
You never did? You think you'd like to?
I'd like to try it sometime. Sure, I would.
Well, next time you come down and pick me up, I'll give you a chunky and cook it.
Oh, okay.
I've got some beaver in the freezer down there.
Oh, yeah.
I cooked some. That's how come I had this one here.
Oh, that was beaver roast, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
I cook it first.
Yeah. Now tell me how to cook it. Yeah.
I cook it first, then I drain it, then I wash it.
Uh-huh.
Then I put my season in there.
Uh-huh.
Then I put my carrots, my potatoes,
yeah,
and celery, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then I put it in tinfoil and I just make it tight. Put all my season in there. Then I put it in the oven and I leave it there for a couple of 3 hours.
After it's already cooked?
After it's already cooked. But I just roast it, you know.
Uh-huh.
I trim all the fat off first.
Yeah.
Before I put it in the roaster. I trim the fat off because it's some of them that fat, you know. So I just trim all the fat. Sometimes I get garlic and I cut it inside and I stick that garlic in there, you know. And to make it more better, I use little brown sugar I sprinkle on. I try a lot of different things, you know. And I get it really turned out good. I always do that. A lot of people just boil it, you know, boil it, but anyway.
Oh, I don't like to boil meat. Yeah, that's
not good. And fry, you know, that's the worst thing there is.
That's
you know?
The worst thing you can do is
yeah,
that's make
your high your blood pressure.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So I never hardly fry. I always boil it or I make rolls or whatever. The other day we was eating. We went out Tokot and they had dog race, so they had potlatch, and this white fella he was with me, you know, and link meat. You never ate link meat, huh?
No.
It's just like turkey, just like white. It's the same thing, and the bone is the same
link?
Thing.
You mean like the cat?
Link? Yeah, cat, yeah.
Okay, that kind of meat is that way?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
So, so they had some of that up there, you know. Uh-huh. And he said, gee, that's good turkey. And I never told him what it was, you know. And another time, too, in town here, you know, Thanksgiving, and my girlfriend, I taught her how to do that. She's from Wisconsin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her how to do it, you know. So this fella, he says, oh, he said, no, I don't eat cat. He said, he always say that, you know. You know, I don't eat cat. You tell me you ever eat link. Mm-hmm. No, I don't eat cat. He said, So one time, my girlfriend, and we invite him, so he come down, and he had Thanksgiving dinner with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Rose, he just fixed it up nice, you know, and made dressing and all that. But he got through eating, and he told Rose, these are a good cook. He said, that's the best turkey I ever ate. He said, and the dressing was delicious. So we never said nothing of a long time. I told him, hey, speech, you know, what's that? He said, it's turkey. I told him, no, that's link. I told him, link? He says, you know, one time I told you that I never eat cat. He said, oh, man, he said, that was delicious. He says, you cook more of it, and I'll come down and visit you more often. A lot of that stuff like that, you know. Like beaver foot, you know, beaver foot and beaver tail. I pickled all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. See, I boiled it first. I boiled it. Then I peeled the skin off. It just comes right off, all that stuff. It just peeled right off. And then when I make pickled salmon, though, I glue it with water, you know. Otherwise that vinegar will just cook it, you know. So this pig's feet, I put spices, onions, and everything. And it's just like eating pig's feet.
I've never eaten pig's feet, so I have to tell you the truth. That's something that will make it go boom.
Well, that's what I say. A lot of people like pig's feet, you know. One lady always said, you mean you eat beaver foot? I say, yeah. And I tell her, you eat pig's feet? Pig's feet? Oh, yeah, she said. Delicious, she said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I says, you know, beaver are vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what pig crawl through and all that stuff? Yeah, she said. And she changed her mind right away. I said, same as chicken. I said, all that stuff. I tell her what I did. It's true, too. Because anything I kill, you know, there's nothing that I waste.
Mm-hmm.
Like I
think that's very important. Yeah.
Like I tell my students how to, all the insides,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff you save.
Mm-hmm.
And that one big ball there, I don't know what they call it, the Bible. And if you cut it a certain way, told about that big, if you cut it a certain way and you dry it, and you can put your lunch in there, your meat, everything, it'll just stay fresh.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a plastic bag, but it's got meat around it. You know. So I tell them that too. And that stuff, the really stuff there is, there's one stomach part and it's kind of white. Really white and really thin. And if you're really hungry, you just cut that off and you just chew that up, eat that, and you can eat it just raw.
Well, I would imagine, and if you've got it, I mean, I could even see it myself.
And it just sticks.
Even raw.
You never get hungry.
Huh.
Well, I tell them all that story, and I tell them about the medicine they took. Medicine is what they wanted to know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I told them there were some good ones and some bad ones. I said, the bad ones is what you what you're hearing now. I says, all their spirit.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Because, you know, years ago, the medicine from way down the river or up the river or something like that, you know, they were jealous of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
these other people was getting more mm-hmm. game than they were.
Mm-hmm.
So they were jealous, you know. So this one time they had big potlatch. You know, they were all sitting around in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting around there and talking. They used to have a lot of games. So they were sitting around talking. And pretty quick there was a whirling one, you know, and this their chief, their great medicine. And he was sitting down there, and that whirlwind was just going back, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's going right towards that, towards their chief there.
Mm-hmm.
So this one woman, she thought right away, you know, she knew what it was. She knew what it was.
It was a woman again, is that interesting?
No, this was a man. Mm-hmm. So this woman, she grabbed that piece of stick, you know, and mm-hmm. she just swung it like this. And she swung it, and she cut that whirlwind in half, and it quit right there. And when she hit that thing said, "Aba!" And that means, ouch. That means, ouch.
Yeah.
And that fell way down the river, it broke his back, and that was him. See, he was after this other guy.
Oh, gee, Howard, this is a turn, Mr. No.
Yeah, okay. They just quit and everything. They really enjoyed it.
Oh, and yeah.
I tell them, I said, "Dude, I'm glad that you really enjoy that stuff." It's like when you're fishing, you know, when you're out of luck for fish. Out of luck for fishing, what you do.
My son loves to fish. That's why we're going to come down and visit you. Because, yeah, I want
to. So, I told him, you know, you get a piece of stick, you know, and you carve a fish pattern, like, you know, fish. Then you throw it in water.
Uh-huh.
You throw it in water, and you go behind it. You go right behind it. You go behind it, and you just see where it goes. And where do you think the fish is going to, where it goes? I said, "You throw that stick in there and you follow. You just follow." And I said, "Just where that fish go." I said, "That's where you put your wheel." And then you get that fish stick, the stick. I said, "You nail it behind your fish wheel." And I said, that's your lucky, because all this kind of fish like that. That's right. It's just like, if you're bad luck, you know, if you can't catch nothing, it's always bad when you're out of luck, you know, like mm-hmm. you can't make money, you can't find job,
right.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you're hunting, you can't kill moose, you can't catch beaver, you can't catch nothing. So this animal is thinking of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's either that bear or that bear and cow moose. It's either that or this one.
Why would it be those two? I mean, why is that?
Well, he's thinking about you.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking of you. So, what my friend did, we did that one time, you know. So he says, "Howard," he said, "let's go." He said, "Let's put all our sets out."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "It's too long now." So we never caught nothing. He said, "That animal is thinking. It's thinking about us." He says, "It's that bear or that cow moose." So he said, "Let's go put our set out."
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We put all our set out. So we hunt for 2 days. And did. He caught a bear. And he come back that evening. He said, "Well, Howard, let's go put our set out tomorrow." He said, "We broke our luck." He said, "That son of a gun." He said, "He think about us too long." He said, "He got on me." So sure enough, we put our set in. Mm-hmm. And there we started catching fur. Very kids and moose and stuff like that, and that's what it was. That animal was thinking of us. And another thing, you know, there's porcupine, you know, the shoulder blade right here? Shoulder blade. See, it's got a big hole right here. It's got one little one right there. One little one right there. This one's got a big hole right there. So you put your hole right here and you get a stick. And you make that little hole. In that big hole, and you turn around, you just turn around like this, and you go like this. You hit the big hole, that's that hole. And if you hit that little hole, and you turn around, you go like this. If you hit that little hole, you go that way. Then you catch that bear.
And these things always work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do the kids think about these things now?
Oh, they really like it.
I bet they
really like it.
I mean, they're still hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, they really like what I say, you know. And I told them, I told them about this girl, you know, when she become a woman. And that's, I said, that's where you got to be awful careful. Mm-hmm. I say, even now,
mm-hmm.
I say, you don't leave your hat like this, like that. And you don't let that girl sit on there, or you don't let her put it on, your gloves, your everything. I'm still like that yet at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, you know, like this when I hunt, I got my own set. I don't let nobody use it. It's like my knife. I don't let nobody use it. I got wrapped up and I use it separate. I don't let my nobody use that stuff.
That probably makes good sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like I tell you, when I make potlatch, when people make potlatch, that's another thing too. You got this feather, you know that feather?
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making potlatch,